You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, ESPN film 7-part docuseries The Captain continues with episode 2 tonight. Unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and his career, 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And if you missed part 1, you can always watch that on ESPN Plus. Meanwhile, Diana Rossini, you are my culinary expert. Explain this. University of Kentucky quarterback Will Levis says he puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Di, how do we feel about this?
This is the same kid who eats a banana with a peel on. He's like the Dan Orlovsky of college football. Every food take is absolutely disgusting. It makes no sense to me. The thing is, though, he's actually a little spicier. Dan's boring. Dan's like, gosh, nothing better than a plain cracker for dinner. Delicious. So at least this guy's trying to change it up a little bit.
Robert, you look a little stunned.
I'm a little flustered, guys. A little flabbergasted. I met Will Levis at the Kentucky Derby, and we didn't talk about any of this. Mayonnaise? Yeah. Mayonnaise in your coffee? Man, I didn't hurt at all. That is bad. That is just
Mike T,
all
he's
bad, gonna
be a
man.
First-round pick, right? I mean, would this could this influence his draft stock?
He'll fit in well with the offensive line.
That's well put. All right, with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We have a good squad today. We got a bunch of big stories. Let's do it. Cindy, let's roll it for hour number 2. It is time to get up with the quarterback news we've been waiting for. Finally arrives. Who will make the first huge move of the 2022 season, and could it happen right now? Meanwhile, late-breaking blockbuster Philly showing the brotherly love to James Harden. Can he bring a championship to Philadelphia? And then the rankings are out. Did you see where they put Green Bay? Oh, Aaron is not gonna like this. We'll show it to you in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. It begins with the story of the day from the NFL. The 49ers have given Jimmy Garoppolo's agents permission to seek a trade. Shefty tweeting that news yesterday. Jimmy G, of course, recovering from off-season shoulder surgery. He has been cleared to practice as the Niners prepare for the start of training camp. Now, Jimmy G wins. That is not disputable. We can debate anything we want about how good he is or isn't, but these are numbers, and they are remarkable. He is one of 7 quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to win 70% of their games. Look at the legends on this list. So, I mean, Mike T, I'll start with you again. I'll get to Diana, but I mean, you are like jumping out of your seat with what you think they should and should not do.
Greeny, case closed. Case closed. The optic of the exercise is to win games. They do it at a historically great clip. They have a great football team. If Jarski Tart catches that Matt Stafford pass in the championship game, they're back in the Super Bowl last year. We love Trey Lance. He has a compelling future. Don't get rid of a great quarterback in his prime, though.
I understand that, but you gave up, to be clear. You had Jimmy Garoppolo in his prime. You were as close to winning a championship as it feels like you are right now, and you made the decision to basically sell the farm to get another quarterback. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about what they think of Jimmy G?
Yeah, but what do great leaders do? They pivot, they learn, they're open-minded. The best thing for this organization is to keep Jimmy G. That doesn't mean Trey Lance is a mistake necessarily. It just means right now the best chance for us to win is to play the veteran. And you still could have a great future with Trey Lance. It's just not right now.
All right. So that's Mike T's perspective. Diana, take us inside all of this here. What is actually happening and what should we expect?
Let's just start with, I don't like to directly read what sources will text me when I ask questions about their situations. I usually like to paraphrase a little bit, but I think it's worth sharing this. When I asked, you know, what's going on with your quarterback position, this source wrote back, what else do I need to say to you to make it clear that Trey Lance is our quarterback? You know, so I was sensing a little bit of frustration with me with all my questioning. But I think the point, though, is that they are moving on. They want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and putting out the news that they're allowing him to seek a trade. His agent has been doing work behind the scene for weeks. But the problem is There's a big salary that comes with Jimmy G, and the Niners know that, which is another reason why they want to move on from him, right? Because they need to pay Nick Bosa. They need to pay Deebo Samuel. And probably the biggest part of this, the element that probably matters the most, is Trey Lance needs to develop. He does not need a quarterback like Jimmy G, a guy who is beloved in San Francisco and loved by his teammates and has won, sitting on his shoulder here. So until they can get rid of Jimmy G, it's almost like a little bit of drama here headed into camp, because what are they going to do? But from conversations I had around the league, it seems like once a team becomes desperate enough, right, an injury, a quarterback isn't performing, that's when Jimmy will probably get moved.
So, Robert, this is what I wanted to get to, and we didn't have time in our first conversation about this morning, but from a quarterback's perspective, because they could theoretically do both things. They could give the ball to Trey Lance and say, here you go, kid, it's your job, go get the job done, and keep Jimmy G as an insurance policy. But you understand the mentality of a quarterback, Robert. Would that be a problem, you think, for the development of Trey Lance?
I don't think it would be a problem for Trey Lance, the person, but I do think it would be a problem for his development. Because as a team, the 49ers have made it clear, Trey Lance is their guy. So much so, it almost feels like a disservice to Jimmy G, and it's kind of hurt his trade value, because where can he go at this point? There's no landing spots other than Seattle, and they're in the same division, and they're probably not going to make that trade. So as a team, you say the best thing for the team is to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Not to start him, but to keep him so you have two quality starters at the quarterback position on your roster. But the best thing for your young quarterback, Trey Lance, is to let Jimmy Garoppolo go, whether it's via release and or trade, which I know they prefer the trade. That way, Trey Lance can develop without having this guy, as Diana said, who was loved by his teammates, led you to the Super Bowl, kind of sitting there. And if he throws a couple bad passes, now the fans are clamoring for Jimmy Garoppolo to go back in. So I think Trey Lance, I like Trey Lance. His evaluation for me coming out, strong arm, can do it with his legs, and he's smart. He's going to figure it out, but the only way for him to do that is to play, and the Niners know that.
Yeah, he's got like young Josh Allen-y kind of stuff, but it's going to take a little time. That's the best argument to me for trading Jimmy Garoppolo now, is that having him there becomes a hindrance. Let's just live in a world where they're going to trade him, because everyone says they're going to trade him, Mike T. Who should be on the phone with the Niners right now to get him?
Cleveland Browns. They have a really good football team, and Jimmy Garoppolo is a better football player than Jacoby Brissett, assuming that Deshaun Watson will be suspended. They need to make that trade right now, Green, because every day, and I've been there, we traded for Brett Favre at this time of the year when we were at the Jets. Unfortunately, we had to sign Jay Cutler because Ryan Tannehill got hurt in Miami. It's really hard to acclimate a quarterback this late in the process. So every day that goes by that Jimmy Garoppolo is not a Cleveland Brown, his value to them goes down. And as RG3 mentioned earlier, he's also coming off of shoulder surgery. So for a quarterback, there's some really significant hurdles for the Browns right now.
Super quickly, Diana, I just have 30 seconds. Is that on the table here? Is there any trade talk you're aware of that is heating up at this moment for Jimmy G?
No. Does that mean I've spoken to every owner and GM and head coach in the league? No, but the vibe that I've really received over the last few weeks has been, we're good for now. And most, if you just go through the rosters at the quarterback position on every team, everyone's set. So we're really just got to wait to see if someone unfortunately gets hurt.
Yeah, well, that's the reality. Someone always does. So that might be when we see a move with Jimmy G. Everyone stay where you are on the football, because I got the other huge story today, and it's from the NBA. James Harden has signed a new two-year, $68.6 million contract with the 76ers. It's an interesting deal. It guarantees him $33 million next year and the opportunity to decline his player option for the following year and become a free agent next summer. So I think the contract sometimes is interesting. Here's Zach Lowe. Zach, this feels to me like Harden has talked a lot about getting his hamstring back and becoming the player that he was a few years ago. And now with this contract, he sort of bets on himself to do that. What is your sense of what he can get back to this coming year in Philly?
Yeah, there was no market this summer for James Harden on a 5-year max or a 4+1-year max, the mega deal that everyone assumed he would get before his game deteriorated a little bit. So it is betting on himself, because next year, Greeny, a lot more teams are going to have cap space. He'll have a lot more leverage next year if his game rebounds a little bit. And I do think he's going to have a good year if he's healthy, if that hamstring is ready to go. I think the days of MVP candidate James Harden, first team All-NBA, top five player James Harden, I think that's done. But you know what? The Sixers have an MVP candidate. They have a top five player, Joel Embiid. All they need for James Harden to do is be a legit all-star, be trustworthy in big games, be in the conversation for third team All-NBA, or maybe if you really hit, second team All-NBA. I think that's totally on the table for James Harden. He's still that good when he's engaged and if he's healthy. And if he is that player, this team's ceiling is flat out championship. I don't think they're quite as good as Boston and Milwaukee, but they're damn good and good enough to beat those teams in playoff series if some things go right for them. That's how good they can be.
Expand on that thought, on them in the East right now, particularly with some of the other moves they were able to make.
Well, they rounded out their roster with a bunch of 3-and-D guys who add some athleticism around Harden and Embiid, which, by the way, was the single best pick-and-roll combination in the NBA after the Harden trade. They're deep. They have a lot of 3-and-D pieces that fit well around those guys. They are well-rounded. This should be the best Sixers team since the Jimmy Butler team that played half the season, and it might even have a ceiling a little bit higher than that. Their problem is, A, Harden's record in big games is not encouraging. B, Joel Embiid always seems to get hurt at the exact wrong time. Basketball gods, please take care of Joel Embiid. And C, Milwaukee and Boston are just awesome in the East. The road is really, really hard, but they've given themselves a chance. They are in the inner circle of contenders.
It could be very interesting as we work our way towards next season. Zach, stay close. More basketball as we continue. But back to the NFL next. A day after his girlfriend said that she expects Gronk to play this year, he now says something totally different, why Tom Brady may need his best sales pitch ever to get this done. Plus, we all know Devontae Adams leaving Aaron Rodgers is a loss. But is it worse than we imagined? Wait till you hear the rankings. You will next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and Tampa is our next stop. It was a month ago today that Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement from the NFL. Then yesterday, he went on Good Morning America and was asked what he would do if Tom Brady called and asked him to come back. Here's what Gronk said.
I'm not like really retired. It's just from the game of football. I mean, I'm at the point where I don't want to be too busy, but I want, you know, to do some stuff. And that's why I'm dipping my toes in the business world. I'll say what's up. I mean, obviously I'll answer. I mean, it's the greatest of all time calling. And we do have a great, you know, relationship on and off the field. We're good friends. But I want to go back to football. I'm all set.
So he reiterates that he's done. And then this sneaky big news from yesterday. Veteran tight end Kyle Rudolph signs a one-year deal with Tampa. That gives Brady another tight end target in the wake of Gronk's retirement. And so, you know, Diana Russini, there's been all this back and forth. You were actually the one who alerted me to the news earlier this week that Gronk's girlfriend had said she thinks he's going to come back. And the agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has said he thinks he's going to come back. But now, here's Gronk saying no, and the Bucs signing a veteran tight end. How should we interpret all this, Diana Russini?
I feel like we need to preface this with that pillow talk is basically Bible, right? It's cemented. And if Camille's saying he's coming back, he's coming back. But no, the reality, and this is how the organization is moving forward on this. I spoke with a source this morning over text message because I'm just really trying to get a clear idea of what they're doing here. Is Gronk coming back or not? And they said they are moving forward as if Gronk is retired. And that's the reason why they signed Kyle Rudolph. It's something that they had been exploring, looking at a couple tight ends, some veteran tight ends, knowing that they are going to need that. But they are going to try out the depth there at that position. But the source did add, if Gronk wants to come back, they know they're going to have to be open to that and probably going to want to do it.
Oh, so let's make it clear. Tom Brady has a lot at stake in this decision. Robert Griffin III might have even more at stake in this decision. The last time you were with us, RG3, you said you will jump in the East River if Gronk doesn't come back. How do you feel now?
Oh, well, I'm feeling, I'm very nervous. Let's put it that way. Gronk has now said twice that he's not coming back. But listen, if like Dana said, if the girl says he's coming back, then he probably is, because that pillow talk is dangerous, man. But I will be jumping in the East River if he doesn't, but I think he will. Tom Brady's going to call him at some point. The Bucs are going to be testing their depth early this season. Chris Godwin is TBE on when he's going to, or TBD when he's going to be able to come back and play for them. Playoff Lenny looks like playoff Lenny plus. So they're going to really test Mike Evans, Russell Gage, and then Cameron Brait, Kyle Rudolph, and these young tight ends, Cole Keefe and Cade Otton, that they drafted earlier this year to figure out what they have. But that's why you play the games, to figure out what your team is going to be that season, because every team is different. And we got to remember, we cannot doubt a Tom Brady-led team. But yes, Gronk not being there is a big issue for them. As we talked about earlier, the touchdown to interception ratio 48-0 with Gronk on the field in the red zone, that is something that we can't take lightly.
I can't show that number to you
right
enough
there.
Times. It's just an incredible statistic. Since they got to Tampa together, Brady is perfect in the red zone when Gronk is on the field. Doesn't mean Gronk caught all of those, but his presence obviously means so much. So, Mike T, let me just put the question to you as directly as it can be put. Is Gronk's decision ultimately the difference between the Buccaneers getting back to the Super Bowl and not?
Very possibly, because of that statistic. So that's why by November 1st, he will be a Buccaneer. They have too much at stake here, and no veteran wants to go to training camp. But when his girlfriend and his agent say he's coming back, he's coming back. He's still a really good player. And Greedy, you make a very subtle but important point. It's not just about what he does. It's what he does for others. He absorbs double teams, and he creates one-on-ones for a lot of other players. So when Tom Brady calls and say, hey, we need 20 plays a game on third down and red zone, we need you to spike the ball and beat Gronk, he's not going to say no.
So I know you're confident of this, but I can't help but notice you're not offering to join Robert in the river here in the event that this thing goes wrong.
I will help. I will have towels. I will be supportive. You know, I'm not with you every step of the way, though. I'm like more of like pre and post game.
But. I think it's important to share with the viewers around the country that have maybe never visited the New York City area, and they don't understand that the East River is disgusting. We're not talking about a little swim in the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, like we're in Maui. If you jump in the East River, the chances of you finding a body are probably really good, and maybe some dead animals. So the thing, if Robert's going in there, he's definitely coming out with some serious sickness.
Not going to lie, it doesn't smell too good either. I walk in here every single morning. River doesn't smell too good in the summer either. So, yeah, Robert, I'm rooting for him to come back mostly because you've been very good with us here. We don't want to lose you. And I think there's a real good chance that in the East River we do. Let me go to another NFC contender here. And another quarterback who's lost his favorite target. And that is Aaron Rodgers and, of course, the departure of Devontae Adams. And so Rodgers has had the back-to-back MVP seasons, but now he loses his favorite target. So our Bill Barnwell ranked every NFL team's skill position group, ranked them from 1, the best, to 32, the worst. To be clear, this is just the skill position players. It does not include the quarterback, who obviously would make a big difference. These are some of the notable ones. He thinks the Bengals have the best skill position players, the Raiders at 2, the Niners at 3, and the Packers all the way down at 29. That is remarkable. Mike Tannenbaum, why are you shaking your head so vigorously?
Because Christian Watson's a really good football player. He was a second-round pick, and the Randall Cobbs of the world will be great early to get the season going. They will develop Christian Watson, and I disagree with Bill Barnwell. I don't know what games he watched of Christian Watson, but I think he has a chance to be a really good player.
Christian Watson, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb. Now, I understand they have really good running backs, and that counts in all of this, and if the tight end is healthy, he's been a really good player. But Christian Watson is... We all know the history with Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't throw the ball to a lot of rookies, and very few rookie receivers come in and have the kind of impact that Ja'Marr Chase does. You're basing your criticism of this on Christian Watson?
Amongst other parts of the fact that Aaron Rodgers will make players around him better, and early on, Lazard, but really Randall Cobb will be that security blanket, Greeny. As you said, they have good backs. He will check the ball down, and Christian Watson will be an improved player as the season goes on. That's what greatness is. You said it this morning. Aaron Rodgers makes those around him better.
Yes. Great quarterbacks put a lot of people's kids in private school, right? That's what they do. They take a lot of guys who are not great players and make them look like great players. But taken unto themselves, Robert, I mean, you're the one of these people who's sitting here on this show, RG3, telling me Rodgers is somehow going to be better without Devontae Adams. And I just can't fathom that.
Yeah, I think he will be better without Devontae Adams, and it's not because Devontae Adams isn't arguably the best receiver in the league. It's because of what the Packers did in replacing him. They went out and they drafted Christian Watkins. They drafted Romeo Doubs. They drafted Samari Toure. And then they brought in Sammy Watkins, who is a big play receiver when healthy. And then they're going with the status quo guys that they've had that Rodgers is familiar with. So you saw that graphic that was on the screen about the success that Aaron Rodgers has had with second-round receivers. But even Devontae Adams, it took him 3 years to become Aaron Rodgers' favorite target and 5 years to get his first 1,000-yard receiving season. So they brought in John Brown today for a workout, I saw on Twitter. They're still exploring that veteran wide receiver market. But the bottom line is the Packers are not the 29th-ranked skill group. I mean, are we forgetting about Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? Yeah. These guys are phenomenal running backs. And when they've had success, they run the ball extremely well. So it's going to put more pressure on Aaron Rodgers to run the offense, but the Packers are going to be A-OK.
Diana, go.
Look, Van Halen replaced David Lee Roth with Sammy Hagar, and they were a great band, but, you know, they weren't the same without him. And I know we're not supposed to count the quarterback in this situation here because we're just looking at the weapons, but wouldn't you guys rather be Green Bay than the Eagles, right? The Eagles have so many weapons around them, but we know nothing about the quarterback, or at least, I mean, we know a little bit. But I would much rather have Aaron Rodgers with mediocre, average guys than superstars around him with a quarterback we're not too sure about. Sorry,
that's
Bill Barnwell.
That's fair. That's reasonable. We have questions about the quarterback in Miami, and they've got great weapons. The quarterback will make the weapons better, but just ranking the weapons unto themselves. I'm just trying to imagine what your Twitter feed is going to look like now after that Van Halen take, Diana. That's all I can say. Your Van Hagar take is going to blow up.
I made myself seem like I'm like 58 years old. Like, I don't even know where I got Van Halen from, but it's the only thing it's the only band I could think of. But I'm right.
Fair enough. All right, we will take a short break on that thought as we continue. It may only be July, but are we looking at the best Heisman race in decades? We'll tell you why there is no clear-cut favorite amongst a lot of top contenders. That's on the way. And so is this. Sneaky Hembo for Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum wants some revenge today. Here's the question. Who has the Raiders record for receiving yards in a season? That's the question. Answers next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go. Sneaky Hembo for Tannenbaum. Devontae Adams goes to the Raiders. He might catch a lot of passes for a lot of yards. Who has the Raiders' record for receiving yards in a season?
You know, yesterday we were close on Jerry Rice. You know, same era, Tim Brown, but this is Sneaky Hembo. So I'm going to go back. I think you're Biletnikoff, but I'm going to go Cliff Branch.
He got you. It is Tim Brown. It is the obvious one. It's look at Hembo.
Sneaky Hembo.
Believe it or not, second on the list is Art Powell from the old AFL 1964 Raiders, catching passes from Daryl LaMonica. Tim Brown, meanwhile, has four of the top five seasons. Biletnikoff, Branch, Dave Casper, Todd Christensen, none of them are even on this list. So I would say you were close, but I'd be lying. You weren't even close. All right. Meanwhile, let's get to the Raiders here, because yesterday they became the first NFL team to report to training camp as they seek back-to-back playoff appearances for the first time in two decades. Derek Carr is their quarterback, and he was talking to The Athletic about expectations for his team and the disrespect that he perceives it receives from the media. He said, quote, "No one thinks anything of us. And I think that's what makes it fun, is you always have to put the ball down and play the football games. You get frustrated when you see other people's names on things and this and that. And you're like, we're here too. We feel like we got better too. I thought we made the playoffs." Let me be very clear, Derek. You obviously weren't watching this show yesterday when I said that if you play big, and I project you will, that the Raiders are a legit Super Bowl contender. I said that yesterday. So whoever it is that doesn't believe in the Raiders, I'm not one of them. That said, Derek Carr, agree or disagree, RG3? Do the Raiders not get enough love? Does he not get enough love? Are they a legit contender this year? What do you think?
Yeah, the Raiders are legit contenders, and let them know, Greeny, let them know that you got his back. But I think that Derek Carr, he's doing this on purpose. The Raiders are a playoff team that got better. They brought in his best friend, Derek Carr's best friend, Devontae Adams, at wide receiver, and they made the playoffs last year. So when you put Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, you got all these guys on offense that can play at a really high level, the Raiders have to approach this as the chip on their shoulder, because everyone else is enamored with the Chargers, who the Raiders beat to get in the playoffs last year. Everyone's enamored with the six-time AFC West champions, reigning champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, because they got Patrick Mahomes, a Hall of Fame play caller, and a Hall of Fame tight end. So this is the only way that Derek Carr and the Raiders can really approach this season as having that chip on their shoulder, and I don't blame him for doing that at all, because he is a top 10 leader in this league. He's showing his guys exactly what they have to do to be successful.
That's another point. Well, that team went through last year, and he led them through it. Diana, I know you've talked to him about this, but I mean, their coach had to resign in disgrace in the middle of the season in extraordinarily controversial, emotional, dramatic fashion, and they still wound up putting together a playoff season. That speaks to the leadership of a lot of people, but including the quarterback, Diana. What did he tell you?
Yeah, they were incredible last season. I covered them tons. And anytime I had conversations with these guys on the field to the side, like, come on, man, what is it really like right now? They all said Derek Carr is leading the way. They've got Derek. So he truly is the heart and soul of that team. That being said, you got Josh McDaniels now, second stint as a head coach here, and already it sounds like a success. And here's why I'm saying this, because I know it's only July. You don't often hear first-year head coaches bonding with their players right off the jump and getting along. Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels, they golf tons together. And I spoke to a Raiders player about the offseason, trying to find out what they've been working on. And obviously, they're doing the normal football stuff. But a lot of the offseason has been focused on getting to know one another, spending time together to really continue some of the success they had last year. And remember, Josh McDaniels, we know, comes from New England. There are a lot of New England tendencies already in Vegas in terms of personnel on the coaching side and the player side. And this all helps Josh translate what he's trying to send and the message he's trying to give this team as they're trying to build something. So in terms of this team heading into the season, the bond is there. Now we just got to see the football.
What do you think, Tannenbaum?
I think he's a great leader, but over the last 5 years, no NFL quarterback has lost more games or turned the ball over more than Derek Carr. So he is easily aggrieved. He has a chip on his shoulder for no reasons. He hasn't played consistently well. I tip my cap for what they did last year, but the facts are the facts, and they're a lot closer to being the fourth best team in the NFC, the AFC West, than really challenging in a meaningful way because you have Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes above him.
I agree, but remember
go
too.
Ahead, Diana.
Too, Derek Carr also, after Tom Brady, Derek Carr also has the most fourth quarter comebacks than any other active quarterback. So the pressure, there's been conversation, can Derek handle it? His stats prove he can handle it. It's just he's going to have to consistently do it this season. And their defense, Mike, you know this. When their defense is good, and it's been years since the Raiders have had a really strong defense, that was the year they went into the playoffs and went into the Super Bowl. So until they can improve there, that's what we should be talking about. Forget Derek Carr. It's the Raiders' D.
All right, let's leave that there for the moment. But again, Derek, if you're watching on this show, we've got your back. In the meantime, let me go to a brand new feature here. We call it HD, high definition for Heather Dinich, because no one helps you see things more clearly than Heather does. And she's got three things as she joins us from Atlanta this morning that she wants everybody to know. Heather, starting with Georgia, take it away.
Bree, Georgia coach Kirby Smart said yesterday that he's not worried about complacency because Georgia will not be hunted. I can promise you that. He said complacency isn't a problem because they lost about 15 players to the NFL last year. These players on this team haven't done anything yet. We'll find out if they're not hunted because Oregon is going to come here on Labor Day to open it up against Georgia. And then the second thing to watch this season is Clemson coach Dabo Sweeney. He's betting on himself this year. He had to replace both of his coordinators, and he made internal hires. Tommy Streeter, his new offensive coordinator, has never called a play, though he's been on staff for a long time. Wes Goodwin, his defensive coordinator, was Brent Venables' right-hand man, but he was always a defensive analyst. He was never even a position coach. So can they get back to the national championship game with those internal hires? And then finally, quarterback play is going to be phenomenal this year. That means the Heisman race should be one of the best ever. You're talking about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, jam-packed, but it goes way beyond that. How about linebacker Will Anderson Jr. from Alabama? Yesterday, he told us that he wants to become the first true defensive player to win the Heisman, not for himself, but for younger defensive players. His teammate Bryce Young said he hopes that comes to fruition.
Yeah, as you see the odds on some of these guys, of course, Charles Woodson won the award once upon a time, but played on the special teams and all the rest of that as well. So you see the favorites there, and I wanted to bring Robert Griffin III in, obviously, on this conversation. No one knows the Heisman better than you do, and we're trying to get Paul Feinbaum back here. RG3, when you hear people say this is going to be the greatest Heisman race ever, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just say pump the brakes a little bit, right? We got this year we have three Heisman candidates on the same team at Ohio State with C.J. Stroud, Travion Henderson, and also Jackson Smith and Jigba. But it's always around this time in July and August where there's all these Heisman Trophy candidates. But you got to let the year play out. Last year it was DJ Uiagalelei and Spencer Rattler. They were going to take it home, and they didn't even make it to New York. And then of all people to come in second place last year, it was the boogeyman Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, a defensive player that was the runner-up to Bryce Young winning the Heisman, and no one really had predicted that. So I just look at it this way. There's only one guy coming into the season that has a Heisman Trophy and still playing in college football. That's Bryce Young. He is the clear favorite, and Alabama has done some great things in the transfer portal to help him get more weapons to go out there and put on another successful season. But HD, I hear everything you're saying. I'm just saying let the guys play the game. There's going to be a star that pops up in college football that no one's expecting.
Yeah, and Young will try and become the first, the only person besides Archie Griffin to win more than one Heisman. How about it, though, Heather? At the end of the day, it's going to come down to the quarterbacks, all the linebackers and everybody else. That's great. I love it. But we know historically, it is overwhelmingly a quarterback award. If you were to look at one of them right now and say he has the best chance before a single snap has been taken to win it, which one do you have your eye on?
I'm going to go with C.J. Stroud. I love Ohio State. I love the hire of Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator. I actually talked to two of their players yesterday on defense who said they think that they've got a chance to get that missing piece of the puzzle to get back to the national title. And when you look at all the playmakers that he has around him, I think Stroud is certainly capable of it because Ohio State is capable of it. Here at SEC Media Days, everybody's talking about Alabama and Georgia. Sorry, guys. I'm going with the Buckeyes.
All right, fair enough. It is frequently the best player on the best team. Ohio State could easily wind up being that. Heather Dinich in HD, as always. We roll on in just a moment here as we continue. Aaron Donald, seen as the best defensive player in the game. He's won a Super Bowl. But the biggest honor for the Rams superstar may have come this week. We'll tell you what it was. Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so this is Madden Ratings Reveal Week all across ESPN every day here on Get Up. We're revealing a new member of the highly coveted Madden 99 Club. But today, we're revealing an old member. Aaron Donald is a 99er again, tying Peyton Manning for the most appearances in history with six. By the way, this is Aaron Donald's sixth consecutive year in the 99 Club, and we thought to commemorate and celebrate his greatness, we would just revel for a few minutes in his genius on the football field. Mike T., I'll start with you. This is Aaron Donald just dominating the Cowboys.
Yeah, and you know it's coming, and you still can't do anything about it, and nothing bothers a quarterback more, Greeny, than quick inside pressure, which is Exhibit A right here.
He's just devastating, and he did that to the Cowboys once upon a time. Look at him more here. Look at him.
It's not fair.
People are just falling at the wayside. All right, next, Robert Griffin III. How about the time he used one arm on this guy?
Yeah, listen, he's got one arm that's stronger than most guys, two arms and their chest. This is the guy that you start every week with game planning for. You assign your center, your right guard, your left guard, the running back, the fullback, and the tight end to come and block Aaron Donald at all times because he is an absolute game wrecker. And this is just feels like cruel and unusual punishment to Kyler Murray, right? Look at a little small guy, look like a child out there, and Aaron Donald's just eating him up.
And then, Diana, he made the two plays consecutively that won the Super Bowl last year.
He did, and he's the reason why the Rams were able to finish it off. And look, I know there were so many questions about whether or not he was going to retire. And Greeny, I talked to him right after he hoisted up that Lombardi trophy. And on camera, he's like, yeah, I got to think about it. And as he walked away, I looked at him one more time, and he just kind of winked at me. I knew he wasn't done.
Aaron Donald back for more. But again, he made those two plays and then pointed at his ring finger. And, you know, we're accustomed to games ending on game-winning touchdowns. He won that Super Bowl every bit as much as John Taylor or any of these other plays. He just did it on the defensive side. So with him in mind, that brings us to the Rams. They will start the season 49 days from right now against Buffalo. As it stands right now, are they the favorite to win the NFC? Or is it someone else? Diana, who wins the NFC this year?
I'm sorry. I'm going to do it. I do it every year, and I'm a loser every year. But I'm going with Aaron Rodgers' Green Bay Packers. I think this is the best version. Ooh. They've been knocking on the door for 3 years in a row. This is the time they're going to knock on the door and just barrel it down.
Diana, you're my favorite person. How can this be their best version if they just lost their second best player?
Because I'm with Robert. I think, even though he doesn't have Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers has the ability to make everybody around him great. And to me, he protects the ball better than anyone. He doesn't just throw it away. And that's going to be key with these young guys.
Okay, we'll see. I'm going to need to see it. I would never question or doubt Aaron Rodgers, but very rarely is addition by subtraction come from losing a guy like that. Tannenbaum, who's going to win the NFC?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and to quote the great Mike Greenberg, sneaky big news, they got better at the head coach position. I've worked with Todd Bowles. He's an outstanding coach. They have a great young defense with playmakers that can run ahead up and down at all three levels. We talk about Gronk a lot, but when it's all said and done, this team will be better coached, they'll be better on defense, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
Here's another one. We've talked more about Josh McDaniels, but this is another coach in Bowles who gets his second chance as a head coach a lot of times, and Belichick being the most famous example, but there are others of guys who, whatever it is they learned from their first go-around, now they come back and they are better the second time. He had some success with the Jets. We'll see what he can do there with Tampa. RG3, who's going to win the NFC?
Oh, the only right answer is the Los Angeles Rams. To Diana's point about the Packers, don't forget about that defense. That defense is also going to make their offense better. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Rams, they weren't that great last year, and they won the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford led the league in interceptions. They had the 25th ranked rushing game. Their defense is ranked 15th in the league, and they still found a way to get it done. Now they go out, they're going to have a better chance to have a better offensive line, even without Big Wit out there, a better running game, and they brought in Allen Robinson, a true number one wide receiver from the Chicago Bears, to add to that passing attack. So I think the Rams are going to get better. And, oh, yeah, they still got Aaron Donald.
Diana?
Yeah, Robert, you threw me a nugget there on the Packers defense, reminding me, so I'll remind you something as well. Matthew Stafford recently just went on a podcast to talk about his comfort in the offense. He said he wasn't even comfortable with Sean McVay's offense last year. They won the Super Bowl. Can you imagine what this is going to be like when Matthew Stafford fully grasps what Sean McVay is designing out there? It's just going to get better. And that addition of Allen Robinson, I think, is going to be a much bigger story than we're making it.
We'll see. So those feel like the right contenders. I will jump in here and break the tie. There's only one hard, fast rule. If the question is about the Super Bowl, the answer is Tom Brady. There's one thing I've learned over the last 20 years. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Brady is generally a pretty good default answer until someone shows me otherwise. I'll take Gronk to come back, RG3 to stay out of the river, and the Buccaneers to wind up back in the Super Bowl. By the way, the ratings reveals continue all week long across ESPN. Later this morning, the First Take crew will be debating the top two corners in the game, and then later on SportsCenter, the top 10 corners will be revealed. It's Madden Ratings Reveal Week right here on ESPN. Speaking of First Take, they're coming up. James Harden back in the fold with him and Embiid and some sneaky big offseason moves. Is Philly now the team to beat in the East? Monica McNutt and Jay Williams will debate that and more. First Take follows us top of the hour here on ESPN. All right, ESPN film 7-part docuseries, The Captain, continues with the second episode tonight. Unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and career on and off the field. 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. If you missed part one, you can watch that on ESPN+. right, we'll finish today's program for us where we began. The 49ers have given Jimmy Garoppolo's agents permission to seek a trade. Shefty tweeting that yesterday. Garoppolo is recovering from offseason shoulder surgery. He's been cleared to practice as the Niners prepare for the start of training camp. And we can debate a lot of things about how good Garoppolo is or isn't. What cannot be debated is that he wins. When he starts, his teams win. He's one of seven quarterbacks to debut in the Super Bowl era that has won 70% of his games. Look at the other names on that list. And while no one is arguing that his performance belongs in a group like this, the record speaks for itself. And so it does beg the question, are you not better off at least keeping him on the roster? That is a question. Mike Tannenbaum all morning long has answered it in the affirmative. Let me change the question to you. We just a moment ago went through the NFC contenders. We didn't mention the 49ers as a team that would make the Super Bowl. Would they have a better chance of doing that in your mind this year with Garoppolo over Lance as their quarterback?
100%. They were in the championship game last year, and they have a good young nucleus. So absolutely, for this year, they have a meaningful chance to compete in the NFC Championship with Jimmy G.
So, RG3, you're a believer in Trey Lance. I'm a believer in Trey Lance, but he has next to no NFL experience, barely played last year, and anyone who remembers him from the draft knows that he had much less college experience than almost any quarterback ever to be drafted in round one. He's outstandingly talented, but raw. Do you believe they take a step back before taking a step forward by making this quarterback change?
Greeny, I think it's an extreme possibility that they could take a step back. You know, thanks to our guy Hembo, he pointed out the fact to me that Trey Lance has only thrown 389 passes in the last couple years when you include his college career and last year with the 49ers, and he's likely to exceed that this season, so we'll know more as time goes on. But I think the decision of, hey, let's put Jimmy G out there and roll the dice with him for another year, I think that's way gone. The way that they've addressed this situation all offseason has shown that Trey Lance is their guy, and going back now is not going to be a solution. So I think you have to allow Trey Lance to prove to you who he is. And in those other years when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl and deep into the playoffs, nobody picked them then either. This team is constantly overcoming obstacles, and I think the biggest thing they have to do is trade Jimmy Garoppolo and find a way to sign Deebo Samuel back.
Diana.
Yeah, Greeny, it's over for Jimmy G in San Francisco. And I know why Mike believes that this could be a safe insurance policy, but it's essentially like my husband having his new wife coming into our house right now, introducing him to my little Mikey. He's the new mom. I leave, and then he's like, oh, Di, come back. You're cooking so good. We actually want to keep you here because, you know, you're so great at that whole thing. You know, you can't. I'd be like, no, it's over. It's over. We're done. You're invested in the new one. And this team, they're invested in Trey Lance. They just are hoping he can cook, too.
Is it like that? I mean, I appreciate the analogy, and I understand it, but it does. So you're saying they have severed, that relationship between the 49ers and Garoppolo has been severed like a divorce.
It's not bad. They don't not like one another. They just understand the business of this. Jimmy Garoppolo was in tears after the NFC Championship game because he knew it was over. He knew that this organization has made a commitment to Trey Lance to be the future. Jimmy is no longer the future. Now he just needs to find a home, and that's what's made this really awkward and difficult because the Niners want to see him find success somewhere else, just not in the Bay Area anymore.
You know, Greeny, the law firm of Greenberg and Tannenbaum has a family law department. Yes. And we're talking about reconciliation because they're much better off with each other than without each other. There's no way Jimmy G can be successful in Cleveland as where he could be with San Francisco. So, Diana, this is a marriage of convenience.
Can't they work it out for the sake of the kids? For the sake of the kids, can they keep this together for one more year and try and win a championship? I understand the point.
Guys, it's time to let Lancelot ride the horse, man. It is what it is. They invested in Trey Lance. Jimmy G's got to go. Thank you for what you did, but it's time to go, man.
Awesome. All right, guys, great fun today. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.